And I'm just watch and stare at the youth as they go up. Just kidding. Yeah, it's been an interesting week, to say the least. Different schedule as a guy, you know, I usually like, I like routine. And this week has been nothing like that. But anyway, welcome again to Briletown Park Church. And if you do not like organized religion, you'll feel at home in our church. sorry. Let's pray for the word. Actually, can I ask, Jack, would you please pray for the word this morning? As you sit, just sit there and just pray for the word.
Father, we thank you that we've come to hear from your word and to allow your word to permeate our lives and bring about the changes that need to be made to your praise and your glory. So we pray for our pastor as he speaks to us what the Spirit has laid in his heart for our welfare. In Christ's precious name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Jack. We've started a few weeks ago a series from Galatians 5, from what we call the fruit of the Spirit. And the first message we had was mostly about the fact that we have access because of Christ, because of the Spirit of God, to this fruit of the Spirit, and it's there for us. You know, it was that, not song, it was some, I've got the power. We've got the power. Romans 8:11 says, the same Spirit who raised Christ from the dead dwells in us. And we enjoyed, we spoke about us enjoying the benefits of Christ living in us through His Holy Spirit and working us the fruit of the Spirit in a supernatural way. And I have to slow down. Sorry. I'm just repacing myself. Okay. Let's read the verses just to remind ourselves, because it's been a while since we had this. I've been gone, what, 2 weeks? I wasn't here, or 1 week, 2 weeks, 1 week. We haven't had this for, we had a guest speaker, I forgot, yep. Let's read the verses. It's Galatians 5 from verse 22 and on. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. And those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us also keep in step with the Spirit. And I added this, usually this last part is not read in most of the sermons about the fruit of the Spirit, but it says here, those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Remember we spoke in the first Sunday when we dwelt, went to this subject, about the fact that abiding in Christ is in one way passive. You just go and just enjoy Christ. You just surrender and just let everything that comes from Him just fill up your life. We also said that abiding has a very active component. 2 Peter, first chapter says, make every effort to add to your faith. And it continues. You know, make every effort. So it's both abiding and making every effort. It's both enjoying the work of Spirit that sanctifies you and transforms you, but also it says here, we have crucified the flesh with its passion and desires. We work together with God. And that, it's just amazing, you know. The theme for our series was, oh, I actually had those on the screen. I have to remember what I put on this thing. Okay? You know, the theme was this, you know, the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you. That is amazing. Something I want us to be reminded today and every single day. We live a life abiding, but it's a life that's supernatural. It's more than the eyes can see. You know, we spoke 3 weeks ago about love and peace and joy. And we spoke, it's not the love that people can offer. Just I'm talking about the love that, you know, we have naturally for those whom we like. It's not a peace that comes just because we have everything that we like and we're just at peace. It's not a joy that comes because of the circumstances that are in our favor. We spoke about those supernatural qualities that come in us because of the Spirit of God, and we can love people when they're most unlovable. We can have joy when everything goes against us. You know, I mentioned about the pastor. There's a movie coming up soon called Tortured for Christ. I actually met that pastor back in 93 in Romania, and I just saw God's power in that person. And he wrote in a book that one day he remembered that in Luke it says that we should leap for joy when we are persecuted. And he was in jail. He was in a communist prison. And he began actually to leap for joy on that day. And you know what? He got extra food because of that. The guards thought he went crazy, so they bought him extra food. When he leaped for joy, and he wasn't because he was, you know, having a nice, you know, nice Christian prison cell with TV and internet. No, he was in a communist jail, and those things are not fancy, let me tell you that. That kind of joy and peace and love are supernatural. And we have access to that as we abide in the Lord, you know. Today's focus is actually on the next three of them, and it's not even on the screen. I forgot to put them up. It's patience, kindness, goodness, and I've actually added a fourth one, gentleness, because they kind of come together. So it's patience, kindness, goodness, and gentleness. And one word that I have for us today, go back a few screens, is this: perspective. Sometimes it's so hard to have patience. You know, I'm thinking when we were younger parents, or maybe you when we're younger parents, and we have some few younger parents here, you know, patience is not always easy. Or if you're married to a meeting, that was a joke. Okay, kindness, goodness, gentleness, those things we say, we use those words, but sometimes it's so hard to get to that point. And you know what? Because we lose perspective. And you know why we lose perspective? Because by nature, we are selfish beings. Let's be honest. We are selfish beings. We love ourselves. We love our comfort, our time, our pleasures, our whatever. When something comes and affects that, when something that we like is disrupted, discontinued, or just disappears, we get annoyed. And we have no patience, and we are not kind, and so on and so forth. You know, and we sometimes justify it. We say, that's normal. I'm hungry. It's okay to be not kind if you're hungry, correct? Guys, it's legal. It's legal to be angry. Sorry, to be nasty when you're hungry, correct? No, don't quote me on this, okay? I was just being ironical, okay? But we do sometimes. You know, who drives 401? Highway, 401. Who drives 401? You know, my first times on 401, I was and I come from Bucharest, number 5 in the world as congested traffic, and I was terrified on the 401 when it's like, zoom, zoom, zoom. It's like, oh, what are these guys doing? And now I'm saying nice words, but you know, it's tempting to use less than kind words when you're driving on down on 401, and you know, that's us. That's us, you know, and it's perspective sometimes. I want to read a verse when we begin. I'll read it at the end again. It's in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2. And think about this word, perspective. Looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who, for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. Let's talk about perspective. It says here, for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross and despised the shame. That is all about perspective. He knew about the joy that was about to come, and having that perspective allowed him to endure the shame and endure the cross because of the proper perspective. So my prayer today for us is that as we move through this next four words, from this passage in Galatians, we will pray for God's perspective in our lives. And it will not come naturally. You'll have to be as you abide in Christ, and the Holy Spirit works this in you. This kind of perspective, it's not natural. Because we are, as I said, jealous too, but I didn't mean that. Selfish. We're selfish beings. So it has to be the Spirit of God who crushes our selfishness and allow us to live a life that pleases God and blesses people. So let's move on. Patience and perspective. The words used in different translations, if Dave can look into his, is forbearance or long-suffering, you know, depending on how old you go back with your translations. But they all mean the same thing, that you have patience. You endure, you persevere, you just have patience. 1 Timothy 1:16 says this, But I received mercy for this reason, that in me, as the foremost, Jesus Christ might display his perfect patience as an example to those who were to believe in him for eternal life. I'll say it again. That Christ might display his perfect patience as an example in me. 1 Timothy 1:16. You know, Christ works in you a patience that's from above. It's not natural, it's supernatural, in such a way that you become a testimony for others. And move it the negative way, which I try not to much, but you know, your lack of patience, it's almost as a negative testimony against faith. You know, it's almost like as you shouldn't see a unloving Christian. You know, everybody says that Christians should love, and it's obvious. Okay, you shouldn't see also a impatient Christian. You shouldn't, because it says here, if we're truly in Christ, if Christ is in us, he works in us. He says he displays in us a perfect patience as a testimony to those that would believe. And that's a big call. And that's why we ought to say, Lord, I don't have that kind of patience. Build it in me. You know, the wrong perspective usually is when we put our eyes on us, our needs, our wants, and we just lose our patience. The line is too long. The coffee is too hot. Have you seen this? Coffee at Tim's is always so hot when you buy it, you can't drink it. You have to wait. And it's like, I bought it so I can drink it. I have to wait now? And, you know, that's the level of our, you know, first world problems. You know, that's the way we lose our patience. I won't take you now, but when I go to Moldova, sometimes the line at the border is 2 hours plus. And just sit and sit and sit. And we get close to the border and you see the officers there. And then it's 7 p.m. and the shift changes. And we have to wait for one more hour because the shift is changing. And they do nothing while the shift is changing, you know, rotation. Oh, it's like, anyway, and just pray that gas would be enough to, not to cross the border before on the other side. You know, patience, it's all about perspective. God works in us something so awesome when we understand the joy that is set before us, then we can have patience. Last summer I was in Romania. Like I said, it's number one traffic congestion city in Europe. It's the most congested traffic in Europe, fifth in the world. And I had to drive every day for at least 50, 60 kilometers every day, maybe more, through that traffic. But one day, about 2 days into it, and I was like getting, green and big and angry. If you watch DC. Is that DC or Marvel? One of them. One thought put a big smile on my face. I was driving down the road, and it was crowd as usual, people driving madly, and it was like, I can take this. I'll be in Canada in 10 days. And you won't, you know. I'm getting out of here in 10 days. So I can put up with everything knowing that in 10 days I'll be home, you know. That's all about perspective. I had to drive in that traffic for 10 more days. But you know what? I had a big smile on my face because I knew that will come to an end. I will go home and enjoy a Tim's and driving through, you know, home landing when traffic means two cars at a traffic light, you know. And that was true. Having the right perspective allows you to have patience and endure to whatever you go through. Problem is, we lose perspective because of selfishness. And let's define this word perspective. Three words, and they're not on the screen. I forgot to put them. Christ, others, and heaven. Proper perspective comes when we see Christ's example and we put to our hearts his teaching. Christ's example and his teachings. Others. Proper perspective comes when we learn and we take to heart the fact that we are here to love others. Not love those who are lovable, just love others. You know, that puts things in perspective again. And the third thing, heaven. Everything you go here, go through here, is temporary. It may feel like eternity, but believe me, it's not eternity. You know, it takes only a little bit, and then you'll be home. And you'll see that it's worth it, so much worth it, when you have the right perspective. Then you have patience. We'll go through the other ones pretty fast. We won't, just 3 minutes, and I'll be done. Kindness and perspective. Titus 3, 4, and 5. But when the goodness and the loving kindness of our Savior, of God our Savior, appeared, he saved us, not because of our works done by righteousness, but according to his own mercy, by the washing of regeneration and renewal of the Holy Spirit. You know, again, kindness. It's not in us because we're so good and we love to love people. We love to be kind to others. No. It's about when God's goodness and loving kindness starts to be displayed in us. When we get the right perspective. You know, parents, who has teenagers, who has kids who are, or who remembers having kids as teenagers? Or who wants to have his kids grow up and be teenagers, you know? How much does a messy room trouble you? I'm not looking at anyone. I'm just, okay, you know, don't answer. It's annoying. But once you get the proper perspective, things change. A messy room means you have a kid in the house who is alive. She hasn't left, he hasn't left, he or she is still alive. I maybe sound radical, but that's the proper perspective. You have a kid in your house, and the room is messy because that kid still lives with you and is alive. Once you have that in your heart, it doesn't matter. I mean, not as much. You don't get as mad as before when everything was so big. You know, the room is so filled, and you start to lose your temper and become unkind. Once you realize that it's such a blessing to still have your kid in the house. I mean, boys, there comes an age when you have to move out, okay? That's the caveat. I'm not saying, I mean, if Larry would still live in the basement of Dave, that would be a problem, okay? Playing computer games, you know, all night long and just eating, you know, pretzels and stuff. No, there's an age when you have to move out. But talking about kids, teenagers and younger, it's a blessing to have them around, even if the room is messy, you know? Just saying, proper perspective allows you to become kind and good towards those in your life. Because, let's stop here for a second. Why do we talk about all this stuff? Just because we like to talk and have discussions and, you know, feel good about the stuff we hear? I hope not. We're here because we seek God's transformation in our lives in one huge perspective, which is our interaction with those in our lives. You know, that's where Christianity is mostly displayed, you know. There's something inherently weird when you think about someone who chooses to be a Christian and be isolated and live not in a community. We're meant to live in a community. And as we live together, we get on each other's nerves. There's one proverb that says, as iron sharpens iron, what's the continuation? As iron sharpens iron, so does, come on, you know it. So does a man changes another man's countenance. That's King James, okay? Let me tell the Romanian version of that translation. I had a big shock doing translation and actually having translated that verse years and years ago. In our Bible, in Romanian, it says this, as iron sharpens iron, so does a man sharpen another man's anger. Oh boy, and that's so true. Ain't that? I mean, I have no idea why that translation isn't up. I've never actually went down to search the words in Hebrew and see why is that. But in our Bible, it says, as iron sharpens iron, so does a man sharpen another man's anger. You know? Think about this. God wants us to be light in this world. And people will see Christ in us, not just in our words, and mostly not in our words, but in our love, our joy, our peace, who are supernatural beyond and despite our circumstances. They'll see Christ in us when we choose to let God build patience in us. A patience that goes beyond the normal human, accepted norm. When we're kind to others in a way they don't deserve, and they know it, they don't deserve it. You know, it's a testimony of love of God. And usually we don't. You know, let's be honest. We sometimes, many times, most times, I have no idea, depending on your life, we fail those tests because we set our eyes upon ourselves. We have the wrong perspective. And we're here today to just ask God to work in us His love, His peace, His patience, His... I missed something. Joy. His joy and His kindness in such a way that our lives truly can have an impact out there. The most... The most important reason people don't come to Christ, you know what it is? The main reason that people do not come to Christ, guess what? What that would be? They know a Christian. They know a Christian, have seen his or her life, and they said, there's nothing there that attracts me. Why should I listen to you? You have nothing to offer me. Let's be honest. That's very common. The number one reason missionaries go back home from mission field, Jack, number one reason missionaries come home from the mission field is not age and not sickness. It's conflict with other missionaries. Statistics. 1 in 10 pastors retire as a pastor. 9 out of 10 leave ministry. Wonder why? Yeah, I know. Because we don't have love and joy and patience. Blah, 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 blah. You know that. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness. We don't display them usually. It's unusual. And that's sad. I'm not criticizing anyone. I'm in the same bucket as you guys. You have this English? I'm in the same boat. You know, I'm not better than you guys. I'm just praying to God that He would change me and change me faster. I need patience. I need it now. You know? I want this. And you have, when you have perspective, you know, I learned to be a kind dad in the last 3 years when God just crushed me. Allow me to see the impact of my unkindness when He brought me to Canada in an environment that was, you know, where nice is the, you know, the national quality of Canada is nice. And I came here from a country where being open, you know, being honest, being direct was the number one attribute. And I had a clash of cultures, but I could see myself like in a mirror. And I had to ask God to change me. As my wife has been praying for 23 years, for me to be a kind husband and father. It's been only, you know, for 20 years she prayed in vain. Not in vain, sorry. Alex, just erase this, okay? It took many years for her for prayers to actually become reality, and it hasn't happened until I chose to abide in Christ and let Him change me, you know? And sometimes you don't see that because you're so stuck in your environment and you stop seeing that you need to change. God changed my environment totally from Romania, you know, Eastern Bloc country to Canada, you know, capitalistic country, and all, you know, my former enemies. And that was for my change. You know, I'm not a big Pentecostal, but Anna's mom she's very Pentecostal. And when we came here, she told my wife, and she didn't tell me because she knew I would probably not be very kind about that. But she told my wife, you're going to Canada not because of what Adi can do there, but because what Adi needs to change in his own life. You know? That's true. Anyway, why do we do this? Because we need patience and we need kindness. We need a proper perspective. Christ, others, heaven. Christ's example, others that we should love, and the heaven, which is our final destination. We can put up with everything knowing that heaven is our destination. You know, that's the proper perspective. Next one, goodness. You know, this is about that intrinsic kindness, that goodness that comes from within, from our inside, because we have been changed, we have been transformed. Ephesians 5 says, for at one time you were darkness. You were darkness. I was darkness at one time. But now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light, for the fruit of light is found in all that is good and right. You know, we have been transformed. As Christ's children, we have been transformed, and that goodness is within us. Problem is drowned in selfishness. Sorry to say it again. I'll say it again, at least one more. We're drowned in selfishness. We lose proper perspective because we look at ourselves and we want people to be good to us. We just forget to do it, you know, give it back to them. You know, it's goodness comes again from above. It's a fruit of the Spirit. It's not my decision to be good to my wife, although it is. I want to be good towards my wife, but it doesn't come naturally. Because if I were not a Christian, had I not been a Christian, I would have not been a good husband. I know for a fact I've been selfish and sinful, and we might not have been together today if I were not a Christian. But I am, and by God's grace, I am. Not because I'm special, but by God's grace, I am. And by God's grace, His light is in me. Allow me to be good. Most of times, you know. Anyway, I'll go fast. Gentleness. It says, a different translation say meekness or courtesy. You know, this word is used in the Bible as gentleness or meekness or courtesy. Titus 3, 1 and 2 says, remind them to be submissive to rulers and authorities, to be obedient, to be ready for every good work, to speak evil of no one. Whoops. Does that include politicians? Does no one includes politicians? Just wondering. To avoid quarreling. Ouch. Sure, really? To be gentle and to show perfect courtesy towards some people. Yep, you know the word. Towards all people. Exactly. This is a command. It's not a suggestion. It's not an advice. It's a command. Say it again. Remind them, says Paul to Titus, to be submissive to rulers and authorities, to be obedient, to be ready for every good work, to speak evil of no one, to avoid quarreling, and to be gentle, and to show perfect courtesy towards all people. Again, proper perspective. We want people to be gentle and courteous to us. When we go to the place we do license for cars, what you call that? Service Canada. Service Ontario, actually. Service Ontario, to renew their plates. I was here a week in Canada, and I was warned by a guy, when you go there, it's going to be so nasty. Long lines, angry people at the desk, and they'll be so hard. Experience for you. I come from Romania. You should see that. So I go to Service Ontario in Newmarket, and probably 10 minutes in line. You know, coming from a 3-4 hour line in Romania, that was like nothing. And I go there and I smile, because I was taught, if you smile, they smile back. You know what? Actually works. And I smiled, and I gave them my paperwork, and they said, yeah, you know, sign this, sign that, here you go. And I was out there in like 15 minutes. It was a pleasant, nice experience. Why? I have no idea why. You know what? When you are gentle, and you decide to be gentle, and then everybody around you decides to be gentle, things change. You know, I worked for many years as a translator doing translation for Campus Crusade, for CREW, or for Power to Change, it's called here. And our conference center was in the middle of a pocket of Hungarian people, you know, about 2-3 counties, mostly Hungarian, 90% Hungarians. And there was always this enmity between Hungarians and Romanians, historically, not quite. And I was warned, if you go there, it's going to be so hard, they'll hate you, they won't sell you bread, they won't do nothing for you, they'll be... I worked there, 98 through probably 03, 04, you know, 4, 5, 6 years. You know what? I have never, ever experienced discrimination or abuse or nothing. I would go into a store and say, good evening. And I knew how to say it in Hungarian. I forgot now. But I would say, good evening, in the language, I don't speak Hungarian. Would you please give me this? They would smile and give me whatever. It's about the gentleness and the kindness and the goodness that people see in us, and they respond to that when they're not selfish, when their eyes are not upon them, and when they have the right, correct perspective. Christ, others, heaven. It's easy to see God's fruit in you when your eyes are not upon yourself, but upon the others, upon Christ, and upon the ultimate reward, heaven. This temporary affliction means nothing in the light of what's coming for us as a reward. But anyway, let's make this personal. Have you ever struggled? Who struggled here with harshness, irritation? Is that correct? Impatience? I think it's correct. Or mean attitudes. And don't point to others. Oh yeah, my wife does that. No. Don't do that. Think about yourself. And be honest. Don't raise a hand. But just admit, did you ever struggle with this? Being too harsh? Or being irritated? Or being impatient? Or just have a nasty, nasty attitude? You know? It happens. We all fail here, and that is why we speak about Holy Spirit's fruit in us and about our human interactions. We need change. Remember first one? It says that God has placed in us, so Jesus Christ might display in us his perfect patience as an example. Do you want people to know Christ? We have to let the Spirit of God bring his fruit forth in us. Otherwise, we're just empty vessels, guys. Empty vessels, good for nothing, you know. We have to let God's Spirit work in us and fill us with his joy and love and peace and patience and kindness and goodness, and then things will change. And we won't even know why, you know. It's just going to happen because God will bring fruit. We don't bring fruit. God brings it. Anyway, so we struggle with this, but you know what? There is victory. There is hope. Because it's not in our part to do the changes for that. Our part is what? Abide in Christ. I have got what's next. Yeah, okay. You know that verse? Let your gentleness be evident to all. Ouch. It's not in the Bible. Ouch is not in the Bible. That's my addition. May that be your prayer today. And just that, let my gentleness be known or be evident to all. May my patience be obvious to all. May my goodness be visible to all because of the Spirit of God who dwells in me. He raised Christ from the dead. He will change the living heart as we let him do that in us. I kept missing my points here. I mixed up my papers and I forgot where I am. Anyway. Okay, sorry. I only have 3 pages and 3 minutes left, so I'll be done. Let's face it. We often fail, but that's where God comes in. God comes in when we admit that we have nothing else to offer and we want him to do something in us. When we realize that we are not living like Christ and we want to do that. When we realize we don't love people and we want to do it. When we realize we lost sight of heaven, we want to put our eyes back on what matters most. That is when Christ comes in and says, come home. Not come home, come, but come to me, actually. Lay your burdens at my feet, and I will carry this with you. Learn from me, it says, for I am meek and gentle. You know, Matthew 11:29 and on. Just read that verse at home, just right now. Matthew 11:29 and 30, and I think 31, if there is a verse 31. I'm not sure. Around that passage. A few steps that we actually have to think, you know, abiding Christ. Sounds simple? It means do your best to build a habit of being with Christ. Praying, reading, meditating, just be with Christ. Just surrender daily to him. Take your cross daily and say, Lord, I can do none of this by my own power. I need you. And abide in him. Let your word permeate every single cell of your body and let the kindness and goodness and love come out of you supernaturally at every step. Abide in Christ. You won't do nothing of value unless you learn to abide in him. And then, like I said, make every effort. Do your part, guys. Just do your part. Live for Christ. I love what Matthew 5 says in New King James and Old King James. In Matthew 5:43 and 44, it's an act against the flesh desires. When someone is, someone is like your enemy, and you know that, what's our tendency? Revenge, you know, speak evil of that person. Just, I don't know. Describe in prayer terms what we, okay, Lord, I'm praying for this person who has been so nasty to me today and he did this. Guys, let's be real. It's hard to love. But then Matthew 5, 43-44 says this. You've heard it said, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. No, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies. Okay. How? Bless those who curse you. Does anyone irritate you? Look around. No, don't. Sorry. Think about, does anyone in your life irritate you? Bless that person. Don't, what's the word, gossip? Don't gossip. Don't spread the word out. Just bless that person. Do good to those who hate you. Is there anything more against our human nature? Do good to those who hate you. There is a proverb that says, when you do good to those who hate you, you heap burning coals on their head. Yes, you know, little simmering, you know. It's not revenge, guys, you know. It's do good to those who hate you and pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you. Love them, bless them, pray for them, and do good to them. Yeah, I know the newer versions took out those verses. They maybe have an addition by a scribe later on. I don't know. You know what? It's good to live by these principles. Act against your flesh. Your flesh wants to hate and find revenge. God says, no, bless them, love them, bless them, do good unto them, and pray for them. It's good to live by those words. And then in the end, go back to God's promises. His Spirit lives in you, and He empowers you to do His will. That is a promise of God. He gave us the Spirit to dwell within us and to change and transform our lives. That is a promise. If you see no patience in you, go to God and say, Lord, I don't have patience. He or she annoys me so much. You know, take it to God, just like David, and say, Lord, I can do it. But I want to see it happening in my life. So, Lord, transform me. Surrender to Him. He will do it in you. Decide to obey, whatever the cost. Decide to obey, whatever the cost. Sometimes being gentle, being kind, being good will make people mock you. You know, will make people laugh at you, say words at you. They may swear at you and you want to just answer back. They may write bad things about you, but you want to like just, you know what? If that's the consequence, so be it. You know, perspective is everything. Christ, others, heaven. You can be patient and loving and kind and gentle if you maintain the proper perspective and takes your eyes off of you and your needs and hurts and wants, and you put them on the Lord. Do we have needs? Yes. Do we have hurts? Yes. Do we have wants? Yes. Will God take care of those? Yes and yes and yes. But don't try to put your eyes first on those. And when you see, I'm healed, I'm perfect, I have nothing to want anymore, then I'll love the others. No. As you do the loving, you will receive the healing. Just do it for the Lord, you know. Decide to obey whatever the cost. And may the grace of Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all. That's again, it's a blessing from Paul's words, but it's an encouragement for me. The fellowship of the Holy Spirit will be with me, with us all, every day. And that fruit that we're missing today can be yours, even today, as you surrender to Him and let Him live in you and through you. Remember, once again, I remind you, Christ has given us all this fruit of the Spirit so that we can be a testimony for those that are to believe. That's one thing. And then Christ works this in us so we can bless those whom He has placed in our lives. Let's receive His blessing as we bless others. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for this today's words that remind us again and again that You, that for that joy that was set before You, the joy of being the first fruit of many, the joy of knowing that so many of us will receive salvation, we'll be freed from the burden of sin, and we'll be able to walk in the presence of God the Father. That joy gave you the strength to go through the cross and go through the shame and endure all that for that joy. And Father, I pray that today we get the right perspective upon who Christ is, what he has taught us, what he's teaching us, what his example is to us. We get the right perspective about those who you call us to love, that you have placed in our lives, those who are easy to love, those who are not so easy to love. And in the end, I pray that we keep our eyes on the things above, on the prize of the eternal presence with you, Lord. Sometimes we lose perspective and we become selfish, and then the fruit of the Spirit becomes invisible almost in us. And we pray, Lord, that today we learn again the right perspective, Christ, the others, and the heaven. And that perspective can only come when your Spirit works in us. So, Lord, today we just pray and confess to you that we don't see that often. But, Lord, we know that you can work it in us. So pray. I pray today that we learn to abide in you every single day. And when something comes in our hearts, when anger or irritability comes, Lord, I pray that we surrender those to you. And we look at why are we feeling that way. And we ask ourselves, Lord, we ask you, Lord, to take that from us. And we ask that you cleanse our hearts from everything that's not from you, Lord. I know it's not easy, Lord, but that's why we come to you. Because it's not in our power to see this happening. It's in your powers. And all we can do is to surrender to you and abide in you. I thank you for your words, Lord, and I pray that we can enjoy the fruit that comes from your Holy Spirit, and we can enjoy seeing the fruit that comes into your kingdom when you work in us and work through us. We look forward to see you face to face, Lord, but until that day, may your patience and kindness and goodness and gentleness be manifest in us all. Amen.